And to introduce yourself.
Yeah.
Vinny Stigma. That's my introduction of it. Are you listening? Oh, and are you listening to Boondoggle? Are you listening to today's Boondoggle? Excuse me.
No,
it's today's Boondoggle.
It's not a question. It's like,
yeah, no, I know that. Stigma. I know that. But I'm questioning them, not me. On what? Domain
Cleveland Radio.
On Domain Cleveland Radio.
Yeah,
you better fucking listen to the Boondoggle. I'll come boondoggle your face, you fuck. Billy, thank you very much, my friend. I love you. You're a great guy.
Hey everybody, thanks for listening to this intro before the intro of our today's Boondoggle Radio Show. As you know, we're a veteran owned and operated podcast, and this has been an incredibly therapeutic journey for me as a veteran that struggles with PTSD and anxiety, just getting out and talking to people. But it does cost us some money, so if you feel so obliged to donate to our GoFundMe, we have a GoFundMe under today's Boondoggle. We also have a Venmo at today's Boondoggle that you can donate to. Our Anchor sponsorship at anchor.fm/today's Boondoggle. Any questions, comments, suggestions, complaints, you can email us at todaysboondoggle@gmail.com. And please follow us on our social media sites at today's Boondoggle on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all your social media platforms, as well as our YouTube channel, our Rumble channel, and our BitChute channel. Please follow, subscribe, comment, and download. And please consider checking out our sponsors. If you support our sponsor, Dream Nutrition, you can receive 10% off your order by using the promo code BOONDOG10 at checkout. So Dream Nutrition, they're a veteran-owned and operated company as well. So please support them and receive 10% off using the promo code BOONDOG10. Thanks for your time, and thanks for listening.
Listen up! Hold on to your seats! Grab your girls, grab your beers!
What's going on? It's Tommy Beck, and you're listening to today's Boondoggle.
This is Mark Metcalf, and you are listening to today's Boondoggle with Bailey on Domain Cleveland Radio.
You're listening to today's Boondoggle with Bailey on Domain Cleveland Radio. Yes, Kato Kalin listens to this all the time.
I am Monty Heath, so one Heath, and you are listening to today's Boondoggle.
Hey, what's up? It's John from Skillet, and you are listening to today's Boondoggle on Domain Cleveland Radio.
Fasten your seatbelt.
What's going on, everybody? It's Bill Bailey with today's Boondoggle. And real quick housekeeping note, if you're watching us on YouTube or Rumble, please hit that follow and subscribe button. And also, if you're listening to us on Spotify, iTunes, Google, whatever podcast platform you prefer, please hit that follow and subscribe button. So we can pop up on your thread and you can continue to get more interviews like the one I'm about to bring you right now. I was just catching up a little bit before we went on the air with Mr. Paul Travers. And like you said, the hardcore, worldwide hardcore scene is always intertwined. So we'll have to get into a lot of that. But hey, Paul, thanks for taking the time to be on here today, man. Appreciate it.
Right on. Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's awesome. Good big family.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. And they're always connected somehow. There's that Kevin Bacon, yeah, you know, in the group or whatever.
Yeah, definitely.
We're somehow connected with. But before we get into all that, I usually like to have, when I have somebody on for the first time, I like to go really way back with them. So originally, what did you want to be when you grew up?
A firefighter?
Nice. Growing up in Boston, it's kind of like a
Yeah, I have an uncle that's a firefighter, and I was always taking the tests, and like, it's just really hard to get in there. Scoring a 98, and it's just like, you have to get 100 on that test, or you ain't getting in.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that test you have to take, so, but 98, so, man.
Yeah, so it's like you had family in that. That was kind of something you wanted to be as a kid, but then what, like, brought you into, when did, like, music kind of capture your heart and pull you in?
I think I was like, well, early on, like I had a couple of friends that would like into like Slayer and Metallica and, you know, stuff like that. And so I got into metal like that, cause I knew I wasn't like, you know, like everyone else in school. I wasn't like a sports guy, or I wasn't academic. I was also like, just like an idiot, just like, I don't know what I was, but, and then I just met my buds, you know, and it was like, oh, we're roadieing for this metal band in town. So like, then that became my whole life, was just like hanging out with this one band, Osiris, all the time, and their drummer, Mark, who I knew from high school. He was like way older than me, but not way older. He was like a few years older. And yeah, just roadieing. And then all of us roadies started our own band called Grudge Holder. And we started going to shows probably like, I think my first metal show was like 13 years old at a club in Brockton, Mass called Derringers. And then we just started going to shows constantly. And then 16, we started Grudge Holder and playing shows. And like, that just took over my whole life, like hardcore. That was it. That was everything.
Yeah. It has a way of doing that.
It did. Like, it was like everything. And it was like, we started in a metal, like an 80s-ish metal scene. Hair bands and doom rock, and like, we came in on the south shore of Massachusetts. Obviously Boston had its own thing going on, like Blood for Blood, and Connecticut had Hatebreed, and like each scene has its own thing, but like, we started in the south shore of Massachusetts, shaved our heads, and like, we're hardcore. And like, then it just spread, like everyone was like trading in their metal for just hardcore. Oh, we're hardcore, you know. It just like became like the thing. And like, then Madball and Sick of It All were just coming around all the time, and It was a good time. It was awesome.
Yeah, it becomes a lifestyle, man.
It really was. I mean, I still look. People can spot me a mile away. It's like, you 90s hardcore guy? I'm like, yeah. I'm still wearing a max in shorts, like, you know.
Yeah, for sure. So you were saying like Grudge Holder was your first band then? You
did my only band, yeah.
Okay, and that was you said you were 16 when you started that?
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah.
And then you know, how did you getting involved with that? You know, obviously you're a fan of other, you mentioned Madball and a lot of the other bands in the scene. How did you go about like trying to build a name for Grudge Holder and getting out there back then? This is before, like, I'm sure, you know, internet and
way before. Yeah, it was like 92. You know? I was a senior in high school.
In the days of hustle with the, you know,
yeah, flyers. I was like, oh, I met this kid, Ty, that works at the sneaker store at the mall, and he books shows, you know, and like, it was like that, like, oh, you guys are in a park, like a band, and we would just like give him a recording, and he'd be like, cool, put us on a show. You know, it just really was like super small. And like I said, we were roadies for this other band, and they played all the time, so we kind of would hop on shows with them. And they were older guys too. They were probably 10 years older than us, but had a young drummer who was our friend. And yeah, so we just started playing, and it's just like, it was just a really good time for South Shore. We had a huge music scene, so many bands. And so it just grew from there. Really nice. It was pretty good for the South Shore. We like kicked ass.
Yeah. And I mean, what's really cool too, is like, you know, you make those relationships, you know, like you were roadieing, you know, built that relationship where they're like, they saw you guys were hungry, and like, hey, you know, people are always kind of in the hardcore scene. Like, they're reaching down and helping lift others up, you know, because they want the scene to continue when they're gone, you know, where there's it feels like sometimes in other genres, it's just like, they're trying to keep the foot at your throat and keep you down because you're not taking their spot. But hardcore has always been like, you know, let's keep bringing people up with us, man.
Yeah, man, we had a ton. It was great. It was a good time.
And then you touched a little bit about like the music scene around there for you, but you know, who are some of the ones that like, you know, were the standouts in your area?
In our area, because so we, our area went between like the South Shore, Boston, and Providence. We were like in between, so we were like rural, but then we had the city here 45 minutes and we had Providence 45 minutes. So we went in between. So we had like bands like Times Expired, Lockdown, just like a lot of local bands that were awesome. I'm trying to think if anyone went big besides like Blood for Blood and Reach the Sky, like, you know, all those bands from Boston.
Oh yeah.
Obviously Slapshot, but in our time, that's who was coming up. But yeah, those are the guys we love. New Hampshire, we played a lot with a band called Inline. Yeah.
Nice. And then, you know, so you did a little bit of regional touring, kind of networking and, you know, building relationships and stuff like that. What kind of guided you into jumping into like the PR world?
Oh yeah. Well, so when in the mid 90s, we, like I said, we played Providence a lot and we ended up playing with this band Tension from Long Island, New York. And like, we just got along instantly, just like a bunch of horses asses, just, you know, like hardcore. And they were scary. They fucking showed up and all wearing masks. And we're like, whoa, these guys are fucking crazy, but they're just like the nicest guys. And so we started swapping shows. Like our first show in New York was Hatebreed's first show in Long Island. You know, like it was like us, Tension, Hatebreed. And somehow Hatebreed was already fucking humongous. Like the whole place went fucking insane. It was awesome. But so we started going back and forth. And then my band was like ended in 98, like as a full-time thing that we were doing. And then I moved to New York in like 02. So I was like, oh, I'll start a band out there with all these guys, you know, because stuff started to dry up a little bit for us on the South Shore. And then I met my wife. As soon as I got there, I met a girl and she's now my wife and we own Big Picture Media together. So like I was painting houses and she's like, I want to be a publicist. So she got a job in the city in Manhattan and that she was working for like a big company that does like Lenny Kravitz and the White Stripes and like a big company, but she wanted to do more alternative bands, you know?
Yeah.
So she was like, let's start our own business. Or she wanted to start it herself and she did. And within a month, she was like overwhelmed with like clients. And I'm like, I'll definitely trade in a paintbrush for just hanging out at my house, you know, yeah, just yeah, like hanging her out. So then it just started. And now it's just like 15 years on. We're having our 15 year anniversary next month.
Oh, that's great, man. I've been, I'm glad to get more of a background with you guys too, because you guys have been, you know, one of the, you know, one of the, I mean, I'm just like, you know, I mean, you know, I used, like you said, I used to kind of book shows and promote and stuff like that. But, you know, now I try and focus more on the media aspect myself with doing the interviews with the podcast. And I was interviewing back in the day, going to live show coverage, reviewing CDs. And, you know, back when I had to type up like the interview, you know, people didn't listen to audio back then, you know,
yeah. So,
like, I had some real gold and I wish I could find those audio pieces or if I still had those, but it's like, I'd have to pause, listen. Okay. Did he say this? And then type it. I asked him this, and he said this, you know, and the old school stuff. But anyway, like getting my start connected with bands to be able to do that. I always remember, you know, Big Picture is one of the ones to give me that opportunity.
Oh, sick. Know? That's
so
awesome.
It's like, man, that's awesome.
On that note, I want to say that when we started, like we really took off in 08 and it was like my wife, Dana, was like just friends with all these young kids that had blogs, like and blogs back then were frowned upon. And like her, the company that she left was like blogs, you know?
Yeah.
And like, we just fed the blogs constantly. We had good clients. We had like Thrice and City and Color. Like we had good bands. We had the dude from Sparta's band Sleeper Car. We had good stuff and we fed those teenagers basically. And now they're fucking, all these kids are like running labels, like on tour photographer for like huge bands, like drummers of huge bands. Like we, it really paid off in the end, like, you know, to like, all those people just came up and now like they're all just running shit. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. And it kind of goes back to that, like that hardcore mentality you were talking about earlier about reaching back and pulling the other people up with you.
Exactly.
You know, and it's like I said, I mean, there's not a day I don't open my emails and there's something from you guys, you know.
That's awesome.
And it's because, you know, over the years, it's like you guys gave me an opportunity and I try and, you know, do my part and build that relationship. And now it's just like, okay, you know, I'm still getting the emails. Hey, can you go to this? You know, and it's like, that's where awesome. I got to start like bringing more people in. Like, you know, I don't find the young, hungry people that as much anymore, unfortunately. So it's like, if I can't cover them, you know, I've been a single dad and everything, so I can't go to every show myself, but it's like, you know, I try and pass it along. Hey, can you go do this? Take some photos and, you know, we'll put them on the website and whatever.
I'm glad you read ours. I'm glad you read our press release though. Yeah. Cause it's not often we do like straight hardcore, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, there's, you know, I'm trying to, I think it might've been you guys. There was like a, do you guys do Echo Smith by chance or is that
no, we almost literally were supposed to work with them this year, but we did not know.
Oh, okay. Because there was like a, you know, she was just in town last night and somebody and I couldn't, and I forget who it was. They kept, hey, can you, and I'm like, man, I just can't, you know? Yeah. And then I come to find out, you know, and which I'm trying to teach my oldest daughter's a big music fan and likes going to shows. And I'm like, you know, well, you know, you want to enjoy the music, put in a little bit of work. I can get you connected and start showing you how, you know, to do some of this. And, you know, they're hitting me up about going. I didn't, you know, I couldn't do it. And then I'm like, you know, talking to my daughter last night. Oh, what are you doing tonight? Oh, I'm going to see you. And I'm like, I wish you would have told me, you know, because I could have got you in and you could have took photos and, you know, helped each other out there, you know. But she's, you know, 22 now. She don't need to talk to dad and check in with me anymore or anything. So, so your wife kind of started this. You jumped in, helping her build this up, and been doing this how long now? Did you say
15 years?
15 years, and as it's grown, who would you say? Well, now I don't want to put you on the spot with like some of the favorite artists you've worked with or anything, but
oh, you can. I don't care.
What is some of like the things, like if you had asked you back in the day, you know, like, man, I couldn't believe that I'd be seeing something like this happen with, you know, a band getting their big break and you guys have being able to play a role in somebody's growth and stuff. Who's some of your like success stories, I guess?
I don't know. I mean, a lot of so what's funny is a lot of our bands are those bands from Warped Tour that are already a thing. But like my wife helped like Circa Survive go from like unknown to like major label. You know, we've done a lot of stuff like that. But, you know, working with Thrice is amazing because they're like just really like sweet, cool, down to earth dudes. The Used is really cool to work with because they're just like super funny and Bert's like crazy and really funny. I actually was writing scripts with their former guitarist Quinn Allman for a while because he's like a super cool, super smart dude. So we have our favorites. Like we have dudes that like bands that we're like, we've been with for literally like 10 years and it's like, you're like family with them, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It becomes more than just, you know, a business.
Yeah.
Thing, yeah. You know, and which is always, I think, the best when you can build a solid like relationship.
Yeah,
everybody's comfortable with like, you know, each other, and it's just like, all right, I you know, there's complete trust from the artist and vice versa, you know. And
yeah, it's cool to hang out too. You're just like, oh, just
yeah, normal. Exactly, you know, and talk about like human stuff, you know,
exactly,
you know, like a regular person.
Yeah,
you know, that's what I've learned over the years too. It's just like, you know, they would probably prefer to want a relationship with you if you just treated them normal. You know,
that's how it is with everyone, with like actors, with everyone. Mm-hmm. If you come at like a fan, it's like a switch is like flipped. Like, oh, this is a, that kind of a person. If you come at them with like normal talk, then it's like a switch, and it's just like, you know, assuming they're not assholes.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there are a few out there. Yeah.
Yeah, they're just assholes. Yeah.
But it was definitely worth the trading in the paintbrush, and
it was. And my family was bummed because I was like the family painter. Like, can you come paint our living room? Yep. You know.
Nice. And then I was reading too that, you know, you co-founded Zodiac Records.
Yeah.
You want to talk about like how that came to be for you and what was the inspiration?
Yeah, well, I've always wanted to have a label. And like in 15 years, the bands that have gone through our company is like insane. And like some of them get really huge, and then like this one guy that obviously Machine Gun Kelly,
Cleveland.
He tried to have us do PR, but I was like, no, because he was a rapper. It was like years ago.
Yeah.
But like, there's so many bands that like come through that we don't do, or maybe like we didn't get them or whatever, but like, and then they get huge. And I'm like, we see so many good bands, even if they don't get huge, but we see so many really great bands. So I was like, if we had a label, we could just sign these bands and like help get them out. And just like, you know, God forbid they get signed to an even bigger label, then they're coming back to our small record to, you know, cause it's just small. It's just me and Dana just running it. So, we started to do it in 2019, but my wife was pregnant with our son, and it just got, we got super close. We have a deal with the Orchard, and we just stopped. It was like too overwhelming, cause we were like getting ready for the boy to be born. It was just stressful as hell. And so we put a pause on it, but then this path, just the beginning of this year, we're like, dude, let's do it. Cause the band Have Mercy was like, oh, we just recorded some new music. Cause Dana was their publicist. And they took like a 4 or 5 year hiatus. And we're like, oh, we should put it out. So I like whipped up the label, like, because we already had the thing. We already had contracts. We had everything. And we just hit up the Orchard and ran it through. Nice. I've been shooting music videos, and I did a couple videos for them. And then we have this local girl that's my daughter's friend's cousin. And she's so good. She's like a Berkeley grad, and we're like, oh, we can help her get off the ground, you know? So we're just kind of helping out. We're just like a jumping off point label, you know?
Yeah. And that's right. You guys are there by Berkeley and everything too. And, yeah. And I've had some of their, you know, students, you know, / you know, musicians on here. Danny Wimmer brings them out for, Incarceration Fest. And so, you got it right there. That's awesome. And then you had mentioned too, like, you know, shooting videos, and, you know, when did the love for kind of that end of things?
That's like after Firefighter was filmmaker. Music happened by accident in a way, because like my friends we all loved metal, and we would just all be messing around, and it was like, oh, you can scream. Like, I'm just a good screamer. I'm like, I'm not confident about any part of my life, but I am a great screamer. That's it. That's the only thing I know I'm awesome at. And it was like, so it just was like, wow, you sound just like Max and Sepultura. And then my buddy, like I said, we were the roadies and we started the band. It was like, Paul's the singer. And it was like, cool, you know, because I don't play instruments. I mean, I can now, but not as a teenager. Yeah. So the band just kind of happened and kind of just like, but before that, I was video camera guy. I'm like, we're making movies and commercials and just horsing around like kids making stupid horror movies. And that's what I wanted to do. So when the band ended, I was like, I'm going to just start writing again, like trying to make something. And I had a nightmare about these ambulance drivers trying to kill me. And so I made this movie. I wrote it. I just wrote it out of nowhere. I started researching how to write a script. And I wrote this movie called Old 37. And it's about two ambulance driving brothers that like kill teenage drivers, you know. It's just like, we got Kane Hodder in it and Bill Moseley, and we got distribution, and we made it. It's like a $1 million movie we made. And nice. It took 8 years of hustle, dude, of hustle going to film festivals and music festivals. So I did that. And so just that alone has just like, I'm like re-sparked everything. And I'm like, oh, all right, I'm going to just keep on this path. So I've been just buying gear here and there and, you know, just started directing videos for like some of our clients that don't have any money. Pretty much every video I've ever done is the budget's like $0 to $1,000, you know? So just get creative, you know?
So how would you say like over time, I mean, back when you first were like, I mean, videotaping, was that like VHS camera?
Yeah.
Recorder? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so General Electric on the shoulder, boop, boop, at no editing. It, you had to do everything like start, stop. And it, everything had to be like, you know, there was, I couldn't edit, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and yeah, so I know we're like kind of close in age. So it's like, yeah, that's what we had to work with at the time. But now as you've continued on, like how much would you say you've been able to evolve as a video filmmaker, editor, all that stuff?
I've been technology. Editing like nonstop a lot. I mean, it's great. Like the technology is, I mean, you shoot a movie on a phone if you wanted to. It's just tricky with like the lighting and stuff, but I think, yeah, I mean, I edit in Premiere Pro and it's just like so easy and intuitive. And YouTubers, just like, if you want to know how to do something, it's like, boom, step by step. Okay. Now I know how to do that, you know? So it's pretty awesome. And I kind of wish in a way, even though I hate the internet and social media, I wish like having this equipment to record music back in the day, if you could record your band in the goddamn, in your house, it'd be so sick. Instead of everyone, oh, dude, you put in money for the recording and it would take years to make one recording because we're poor, you know, working dudes making 200 a week, you know, in the 90s, it was hard.
Yeah, that's what I've been like. My daughter, like that I was talking about earlier, is like huge, you know, music fan. And she's, you know, I mean, got a great voice. She was in show choir in high school and all that stuff. But I'm like, you don't realize how easy you have it. You just got to put some work behind it now with the technology and everything. Cause she's like, I got this song and I need to make this song. And she's like, Dad, can you get me into one of your friend's studios or something? And I'm like, well, no one's just going to take you with just an idea. You gotta
flesh it
come
out,
come up with it, you know, talk to your, cause she's in school for this, you know, here locally. And I'm like, nice. Talk to professors and they'll guide you. You know, it's just like, I'm not going to call my friends up and just take you in and say, well, it sounds like this in my head. Can you do? No, I'm not wasting anybody's time. You have to come with something laid out already.
Yeah, you know? Definitely.
And then we'll go in there. And so, you know, the ball's been in her court, you know. I'm like, you know, I mean, Mac, are you a Mac person? Is that your?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's everybody, all my friends in music and video are all like Mac people. So I'm trying to get into Mac a little bit, you know, so I can learn some things for this podcast.
Yeah.
But, I'm like, I'm not going to buy you a Mac. You're 22 now. Go open up that credit account over there at the Apple store.
Yeah.
And you're responsible for it. Cause once you're the one making the payments, it's going to motivate you to learn to use the,
to make use of it. Yep.
Yeah. You know, and then, you know, maybe you can do something to start having it pay off quicker because you know what you're doing. You're going into the Genius Bar or whatever it's called, or, you know, and learning how to do this stuff.
Yep.
But it's like, it's got, there's like the hustle we knew about back in the day, you know, is like everything is so much easier, but you still got to have them. Yeah, exactly. But you still have to have that hustle some, you know, a little bit, you know, and that's what I keep trying to tell her.
What kind of music?
She's more of a pop, person. Like, you know, you mentioned Machine Gun Kelly. That's one of her favorites and stuff too. You know, it's like, and it's like, I remember seeing like one of his first like shows here locally when he was up and coming.
Oh, isn't he from there?
My buddy's venue. Yeah.
Oh, right on.
Yeah. So, but now that he's, you know, well, it was way before my daughters were born and stuff, but still they're all like all about him. And I actually, you know, they were like, kind of try and grouping out a little bit, you know, outside his coffee shop. He was in town or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're like, I don't know what to say to him to break the ice, you know. And you know, they're texting me, and I'm like, just say, hey, my dad was at your first show at, and I named the venue and the,
oh my god,
you know. And then they said that, and he's like, oh my god, I remember that. And then it just broke the ice, and then he hung out and talked with them and took pictures of them. They're all like,
that's
excited.
Cool.
I'm like, you know, it's just like my youngest gets it. Talk to people like they're normal human beings. My oldest will fangirl out and get all. I'm like, you're scaring people. They're going to be a restraining order. Chill out.
That's funny.
You know. Yeah. But yeah, so I mean, how much did you take into, you know, I guess the label side and the video making and filmmaking, you know, how much of being actually, you know, living that life back in the day as an artist, you know, knowing what you could have used and wish you had back then, and now you're able to, you know, take that experience to, you know, how much of that have you brought into what you do now?
Like all of it. Like, I mean, just knowing where a camera goes and like what a cool shot looks like. I mean, we've been to so many concerts and festivals over the 15 years, just working with bands that are a level up, you know, because like hardcore shows are hardcore shows. I play on a floor half the time, you know.
Yeah.
No big deal. In a, you know,
BFW hall and stuff.
Like, I can't hear myself, so I'm gonna scream myself hoarse.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, getting that next level up point of view is like super helpful. Like what looks good and what sounds good. Yeah, so that's especially with the Volta stuff, you know?
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to roll into now with you, because I was reading about that. I'm excited to see this stream of, you know, so I can finally say I've seen a Black and Blue Bowl, right. But, you know, I still got to get there and experience it live. Yeah. But, you know, reading up on what you guys have put into to make this like interactive video service fan friendly and
so you sick.
Know musician friendly and stuff too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about like, you know, the founding of this and you know the idea behind it and inspiration.
So we left New York City in the end of 2016 and bought a house in Massachusetts where I'm from, you know, because we're in Manhattan for 13 years with a couple years in LA because of the movie. So my daughter goes to a private school and one of the dads there, I just met, and he's just like a funny dude. And he's one of the founders, Will McCormick. And he introduced me to Andrew Corbett, who's a founder. And they had been working on this thing called Live Stage. And this was the same thing. Like they had done a show in Australia with Bon Jovi, and they did stuff with like Counting Crows. And then their company kind of just like fell apart like structurally, but it was like the same idea, like switching, you could switch through, you know, like cameras, you know? So they would talk to me and Dana about it, like pitch us like, oh yeah, it's really this cool thing we're doing. And I loved it right away. I'm like, I got it. I'm like, I see the whole future of watching everything this way. And so like 2 years ago, they were like, you know, cameras, right? Cause they had a guy that did the camera stuff, but like they needed like a level up. So they brought me on as like that kind of a person that could do all that stuff. And, yeah, I mean, 2 years ago, we merged with this company, not merged, but partnered with this company, OmniLive in Paris, who developed the technology to do it. And they're just like a software as a service company. So we're their North American partner. And we, we know a million bands, and they know a ton of different people too. They own a Dolby Atmos mixing studio in Nashville. And they like, they're mixing everything. Like they're doing Motley Crue's entire like catalog right now over in Dolby Atmos. So like every band is like now remixing, or everything coming out for the future is being mixed in Dolby Atmos, you know, the spatial audio.
Yeah.
So it's just like going all around there. So, yeah. So we have a lot of connections, and their office is in BMG Nashville's building. Like, so they're in their office.
Nice.
So yeah, a lot of connections there. And I don't know, man. We just were shooting a lot of smaller bands and we never really released anything. And then the Bowl came up. I was like, I'm going to pitch Joe Cuz. I don't know if you know, like cousin Joe, the guy that puts on the Bowl. And it's like him and Freddie are Black and Blue Productions. Okay, yeah. Madball. And, cause I became friendly with him, cause he's friends with my friend Bill, who introduced me. And then he was like, dude, you guys are so great. And he put us on the Bowl in 2018, Grudge Holder. And so then I became friendly with him. And that's when he introduced me to Don from Scarhead about making film stuff. So it just made sense. I was like, dude, we should shoot the Bowl. And he was like, hell yes. So we brought 8 4K cameras to the Bowl. Fucking, we had them up high. We hit them down low. I was like handheld in the pit for friggin' Agnostic Front. I'm like, I would never be up front for Agnostic Front in Brooklyn, New York in like my past ever. Like, it's not where I'm always in the back. Like, yeah, man.
Yeah.
Exactly. Just in there with a fucking $3,000 camera rig. It was fucking cool as hell. Like, so
shoulder pads on.
We're going to have, yeah, we're going to have 6 boxes. One's a director's cut, bottom, middle. And you can just click on them, or you can swipe them or mouse on them and they just blow up. Boom. You can swipe from there and just go back and forth, or you can hit the button and it goes into mosaic, like all the cameras. You can just watch them all at once, like a closed circuit friggin' TV, you know, closed circuit camera thing. And it's just super cool. And so that's what we're working on. We're shooting a ton of bands, getting a ton of content that we're going to be releasing. We're just working on sponsorships for certain, because we're working with like a top tier A-list artist that I guess we can't talk about, but he's huge. So we toured with him all summer and my whole desk is just hard drives full of video, but I don't think I'm allowed to say who it is, so it's fine. But
not yet. Ah, oh, darn. I hope get an exclusive on here.
Because he's a jam guy. He's like a jam band. It's not like metal or anything. But
it sounds sick. Yeah. And
it is. It's so cool.
And obviously, you know, like, I mean, going back, like, you know, like we said, the foundations of, you know, hardcore, everybody pulling each other up, helping each other out, that, you know, family environment. But it's also like, yeah, you know, you build those relationships. And I mean, you got to be like reliable. You got to come through on your end.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what you guys have done for them, yeah, to, you know, pull you in and trust you guys to be a part of this. And it just,
I know. And Cuz is just like, I'm just honored that you guys want to do this with us. I'm like, you're honored. I'm honored. I mean, I'm shooting Sick of It All and Agnostic Front and Madball. Fucking what? Like that's like my 90s dream.
Yeah, I've gone from like the VHS camcorder to, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
It's amazing. So
it's like mutual appreciation, you know. It's great. It's great.
Hey, baby. This is Double D, also known as Dream Daddy. And I gotta tell y'all something about our new sponsorship here at today's Boondoggle. And the name is Dream Nutrition. So if you're looking to empower your human vitality, well, then you come to the right place. With over 12 years of combined experience in cannabinoids and terpene products, Dream Nutrition products include CBD oils, patches, protein, and so much more. The endocannabinoid system is believed to have involvement in regulating physiological and cognitive processes, including the immune system, appetite, pain sensation, mood, memory, and in mediating the pharmacological effects of cannabis. Support this veteran-owned and operated company today, and today's Boondoggle fans will receive 10% off their orders when using the promo code BOONDOG10 at checkout. That's BOONDOG10 at checkout. So go to the link. That's dreamnutrition.com/discount/boondog10. And remember, dream is not spelled like Dream Daddy. It's spelled D-R-E-A-M. AM. And start saving today because you deserve to feel your best. And you know that's right. So tell them Dream Daddy and your brand from Today's Boondoggle sent you.
So, yeah.
And I was reading too, like, that you guys are like using Black Magic design cameras.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've been hearing so much about that particular brand. Like, I'm kind of trying to put some money away in my allowance each week so I can kind of get one for the podcast. But like,
dude, they're great.
Yeah, we got a band here from Cleveland that's, you know, making a name for themselves, and they do all their own videos.
What are they called?
Using that camera, Frail.
Okay. Check them out.
And yeah, they just got Dez's group just kind of took them on from Devil Driver.
Nice. Oh, Devil Driver, right on.
Yeah. And you know, they were just on tour with Cradle of Filth, and they're getting ready to head over to Europe. So their name's getting, you know, they're building a name for themselves right now.
Great.
And really good, but their videos are amazing. It's like looking at a Hollywood production, and I had them on and I was talking to him. I was like, how you, and he's just like, Black Magic, you know,
dude, I'll tell you, it's, they're not that expensive. If you get like, my handheld is a Black Magic Pocket Cinema 4K. You can get them on eBay for like $1,100. Like, I think mine was $1,200 and it came with like a bunch of stuff. You know what I mean? It came with like a cage and like that. I know that's a lot of money, but it's not like the Red camera is like $20,000. It's like $1,200. Like, it's affordable if you're like,
that's it is. I'm just like, you know, I'm single dad on a budget, but
Sure. Well, they have way more expensive cameras too, but that, like, it's their affordable cameras are still super good cameras, you know?
Yeah. So, and like you were saying earlier, now it's like you got the YouTube tutorials and stuff like that to learn how to do stuff. And it's just like, I just gotta, you know, I've been complaining about, man, I need to really start editing like a video intro or an outro and stuff like that for this part of the podcast. And it's like, man, how do I do that? I got to find some young kid that knows how to do that. They'll help me.
Turn it over to me. I'll do it.
Yeah, I'm like, I got 2 hours.
What do you got? What do you need? What do you need?
I'll
fire some military ships and rockets. What, anything you need, I'll put in there.
Dude, awesome. Well, yeah, we'll talk then.
I'm not even joking. Give me some assets and I'll edit it together. Like, you, how long you want it? 15 seconds, 30 seconds, whatever you got.
Yeah, dude, I'll definitely.
I'm not joking either. I'll do it.
But I mean, what I was trying to get to though, you opened your mouth, so now I'm gonna take you up on it. But what I'm trying to get to is just like, you know, how I'm telling my daughter, you got to learn how to do this and that. How bad do you want it? It's like, well, how bad do I want my podcast to get out there and get it?
Yeah.
You know, I got to learn how to do this stuff myself. My buddy tells me that all the time, but it's just like, you know, my problem is like, because I'm older and because of, you know, I could come up with a ton of excuses why
I try to be
out and mobile and moving, you know, more. And I don't need more excuses to sit on my ass.
I know.
You
know,
and stuff donuts in my face or anything like that, you know, but I guess with the software, it, you know, once you learn it, it's not like it's all day consuming like back in the day.
Right. Know? Yeah.
So I definitely got to definitely work towards that, man.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, more with Volta and what you guys now is this now it's, I believe tomorrow night is the Black premiere. And Blue. Yeah. Release. The premiere. And, you know, I guess you guys filmed it at the Brooklyn Monarch. And this was back in when it was live back in what, May, right? Yep. Okay. Yeah. So now it's like, you know, everything's, is it still kind of like with the different angles and everything? Is it still like kind of being there, or has there been a lot of time to kind of edit certain things? And, you know,
no, it's all in real time.
everything's going to be in real time with this.
I think each day had two, like, say, like the two openers, we only filmed like three songs from each of the openers. Okay. And then from then on, it's full sets as they were.
Nice.
Straight audio from the board, no editing. So,
and like, I mean, we're talking, you know, like, we got.
When we do these A-list bands, they re-edit all the audio with Pro Tools, and so, and then they send it back to us. Okay, and then yeah. I re-line it up with that. But no, the bowl is straight up. It's awesome.
Nice. So it's like, it's real so there, you know?
Yeah.
Awesome. And then, yeah, I mean, we were mentioned earlier, I mean, some of our favorites that we both have been, you know, blessed in this family of hardcore to form relationships with, but you got Agnostic Front, Madball, Sick of It All, Murphy's Law, Crown of Thorns, Sub-Zero, you know, just to name a few. It's like the Super Bowl of like hardcore.
It really is like the greatest lineup, man.
Yeah. And people, if they want to see what you guys have created and for the premiere of this, like, how do they go about it? Cause I'm still, you know, I know we were emailing or whatever. So for,
yeah, I'll shoot you a link with it.
Yeah. How do people like that, you know, the fans that want to sign up and be a part of this, how do they get,
so they can go to Volta's Instagram. Is it in our Facebook? I don't know. I should put the ticket link in our Facebook. It might be, but anyway, you can go to our Instagram, Volta Entertainment, and the link for the tickets is in the bio.
So basically it's just it's not something you got to download on your computer or anything like that. Everything is going to be through the website.
Yeah,
just purchase the ticket and
super easy. You know, yeah, and you know it's funny because Verizon is working with this German company to do the same type of technology, and they're releasing it for the Super Bowl halftime show. But you have to be in their 5G stadium. You know how they've been networked, decking out all the stadiums with 5G networks?
Yeah.
So it's like super broadband. Like, but we can do it like over like LTE or whatever. Like you can watch our shit with just your phone, with just data. Like you don't need internet. Like the best internet is you'll have the clearest of picture because it's 4K, but it degrades down as you go. But, you know, if you have super slow internet or whatever. But so we're just happy to beat Verizon.
Even with like AOL dial up, you know, going back. Yeah.
Right. I don't know. Nice. But it's cool. Yeah. It's great to be. It's the first of its kind. And we're talking with like PGA, NASCAR. I don't even know if I'm supposed to say that, but whatever.
Nice.
Like we're talking with a bunch of like huge, like we're moving more towards sports too. Because music, you know. Switch. We're about to shoot Periphery, that metal band Periphery.
Yeah, yeah.
They do guitar playthroughs, so we're going to have all three guitarists, and we'll have, like, three angles of each one, and you can just, like, swipe, and, like, you know, the playthroughs, guitarists, like, you know, same with the drum playthroughs. People like to watch their fingers, watch the fretboard, so here you'll get both, you know. You can all three, we get three angles of them, the wide, close-ups, you know. So it's going to be pretty fucking badass.
Nice.
So you can just watch the drummer. You know, when you watch like a show, the bowl was different because the bowl stage was a little crazy. We had the drum camera up to the like left of the drummer. But like at the bowl, there's 100 people on stage. And it's crazy. But normally when we do like a pretty controlled stage, we have the camera right over the drummer. So you just watch that drummer for the whole show if you want. And swipe and get the wide shot, swipe, get a close-up of the singer for the whole show. You know, it's
cool. If you're an up-and-coming drummer, you know, you'd want to focus.
Want to see those moves.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think sports will be the future, too, because imagine you love NASCAR. You're just swiping from track camera to track camera. Like, you want to watch this one guy, you can just watch his camera. Like, one camera is shooting this one race car the whole time, you know. Same with golf, same with all kinds of sports. Like, you can set up cameras all over and watch whatever you want, whenever you want. So we're kind of hoping that we can change the way people view everything.
It's like, I mean, like I'm thinking too with the racers and stuff too, if you see it from their POV, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
it's like the dash cam, the in-cam, like, yeah.
Yeah. Like, pretty cool. Wow. It's like, you know, you guys are kind of becoming like the virtual reality, like, you know, part of the metaverse or whatever. I guess.
Yeah. Right. Except it's in real life. It's pretty good. We're just, and I'm trying to like, cause I'm a filmmaker. I'm like, I get to shoot a short. We want to get like, imagine you're watching a movie, but you can switch the angles on the same scene. Like, oh, the girl's walking through the woods and you swipe and all of a sudden you can see from behind her, there's like a killer coming up behind her, you know, or maybe you could swipe to the killer's point of view, you know? And so different points of view of the same story, that could be interesting as well.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Remember those books like Choose Your Own Adventure as a kid?
Of course you could do that too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Each, cause we can do four separate audio tracks. So you could do four boxes and just like, every time you switch, it's like the story goes this way and the story goes that way, you know?
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
We're like, we're just figuring out all these different ways to do things. And we're now self-funded too. So it's like, it's self-funded fully by the three of us. So it's a lot.
Yeah, but I mean, if this thing grows and takes off, you know, it's going to be definitely, Yeah,
it would be great.
And it sounds like something that will, you know. So that's awesome. Now, how long did you say you've been back in Massachusetts?
6 years.
6 years. Okay. So you were there during all of COVID and all that stuff.
Yeah. Too. Yeah. I mean, I was very thankful to be here for COVID just because living in an apartment in the city just during that must have been a nightmare.
That's what I heard too. And that's what I was going to ask because I had read that you guys were in New York. And so it's good to know that you were out of there during that time frame. Cause
we had a backyard. We have air to breathe, you know, you're not just like stuck in your apartment.
Get out and, you know, and put barefoot in the grass.
So that's it. And then you just dude, all right, everything's fine.
Yeah. I can deal.
I keep getting COVID though. I constantly keep getting it.
Yeah.
Cause I have multiple sclerosis. So I'm on this medicine that like kind of messes up my immune system, you know, a little bit. So I just, whenever I get that medicine, like a month later, I get COVID. Just like I had it in May. I had it both Christmases, Christmas 2020 and Christmas 21. And then I had it in May. Literally, we shot the bull. I left the bull to meet my family at Disney World because there was like this huge family trip there, like 20 of us. So I had to fly there. I was so friggin' sick. And then I got there. My wife got COVID at Disney. We got home and she gave the whole family COVID again. I'm like, I've had it three times.
Wow.
Like a champion.
You got the antibodies, man. You're the
only, I only had it bad once. One time I had the fever and was like bedridden for 3 days, but every other time it was no symptoms really.
Yeah. The first time I got it was the worst for me too. And like, I got, it was out with my mom and my youngest daughter and for celebrating my mom's birthday. And like my mom got it. I got it. My youngest daughter got it, but I got it the worst out of all of us because I got pre-existing conditions from my time in the military overseas.
Oh, really?
My lungs are already jacked up. Being in the hospital for a few days with it and
that's
stuff.
That's scary.
Yeah, it was.
Especially during like the middle of it. It was like, if you go to the hospital, you're probably going to die.
Well, at the beginning of 2020, when everybody didn't know what was going on and you're just getting bombarded on the media with it, stay away from the hospitals. I had a mild heart attack, so I had to go to the hospital.
God,
you know, so there, you know, and, you know, I didn't get COVID and luckily I made it out and got a stint. And then I'm like, all right, I better start eating right and getting back.
Yeah.
You know,
gotta lay off the fried
food,
I guess. Yeah.
And, you know, start exercising, got into jujitsu and stuff. So it's like,
nice.
I've been doing better on all that. And then at the end of 2020 is when I got caught COVID and it really whooped my butt. And then I was just like, all right, I got to keep, but I mean, the reason why I'm alive today, I think is because of the stuff that I've been doing to, you know, get healthy and stay healthy. There's something about, you know, trying to eat right. And my mom was telling me ever since I was a kid, you know, and
I eat like shit. I'm literally drinking a Taco Bell soda. I had Taco Bell a little bit ago. I'm like, I'm the worst.
But what I was going to ask you too, because So you weren't in New York, which is good, but it's like, I mean, I can't imagine, you know, like what that was like. Cause I read and heard horror stories from friends that do live in the city on how bad everything was there. Mm-hmm. But then this was the first bowl after restrictions started finally easing. So what was that whole going into that? Like, what were you guys expecting? What were you prepared for? And like, what was the reality?
Well, I mean, I know like Cuz gotten a little bit of heat because they did that huge Madball show in Thompson Square Park.
Oh yeah.
And no one, it was like 5,000 people there. No one, generally speaking, had masks on. And the media was like, these friggin' dicks, just like, you know. But
yeah, I saw that.
No outbreaks. There was no crazy outbreaks. And, you know, they, so yeah, I mean, it was fine. I wore a mask when I had to, and I didn't wear it whenever I didn't have to. Of course, I had COVID 3 times, but, you know, I guess I hate, you know, wearing a mask is a pain in the ass.
I'm with you.
But I expected it to just be a bunch of us hardcore guys, and that's what it was. It was super cool. The venue is amazing. I just heard my son in the background. It was amazing. I mean, the venue was so sick. The Brooklyn Monarch, it has like a big outdoor space. It's nice inside. It was awesome. And everyone was there. Like, it was just like, it was great.
Nice. Yeah. And back to that Thompson Square thing too. It's like, you know, it's like, I was like, I heard about all the flack everybody was getting, and I was pulling for them. I was 100% behind them doing that. It's like, we can't keep living in fear, man. We got to get back to our lives. And it's like,
right,
you know, as many people as he pissed off, man, I was like, John Joseph has just been like, you know, out there just telling people, you know, what's up. And I'm like, good. Good.
I know.
Good stuff, man.
It is what it is. I mean, definitely sucked that so many people died, for sure. But
yeah,
I mean,
but it's like,
it's waning. We're building immunity. Vaccines probably helping something. I don't know.
Yeah. We'll see.
I have no idea. I'm not a doctor.
Yeah. Me neither. You know, and that's a whole nother.
No, it's a whole thing. I ain't getting into any of that. I had to get it because I'm immune compromised. So I was just like, yeah, of course I'll get it.
Yeah.
Because at least if it keeps me out of the hospital, then it's worth it to me.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you got pre-existing conditions. I know myself, I have my stuff and, you know, whatever. Yeah. But
it's tricky.
You know, yeah.
I would get it, and I wouldn't tell people that didn't get it that they're assholes. That's like big complaint that the people, you know, are, you know, just shitting on everyone, you know.
It was just, I mean, and it was more like how the media and, of course, politics handles a lot of stuff, man. It's just like, let's keep us at each other's throats while, you know, our 401ks and everything's getting drained by the assholes that are, you know, by the great Oz behind the curtain that's making us look over here, you know?
Yeah. It, to me, being in the media myself, not as a writer, but just as a PR person, I mean, I'm just the GM. I'm not a publicist, but to me, the media just wants ratings. I don't know that there's a huge group of people controlling everything, but like, as far as I believe, people love watching drama more than anything. People want to watch a car crash more than they want to watch a handicapped child win the Special Olympics. They're going to watch that car crash every time. So they're going to keep airing the car crash. If people are hating each other, they're going to keep airing that. The stations that hated Trump the most aired the most Trump. You know, it's just like, they know people are going to watch car crashes nonstop. And as long as they're watching, they're getting money. And it's just kind of, it's as simple as that, in my opinion. They're putting on what people want to watch, even if it's like fucking mental crazy shit. They just put it on, people watch it, they get paid. They don't care what it's doing to the fucking America or wherever, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I started growing up, you know, with like Phil Donahue and Geraldo and Jerry Springer and stuff. So it's
exactly.
There's the litmus tests right there.
Exactly. You know? That's what everything
is. What kind of stupid shit are people into? And run with it. And here we are. And now these people are voting.
Yeah. It's crazy.
But
it's crazy out there.
Yeah. Yeah. But man, we've been on almost like an hour here. I'm trying to
I literally just saw that. I was like, oh wow, 54 minutes.
Nice. But you know, for everybody that's kind of like new to you know, everything that you're a part of and would like to know more, where would you send
Yeah, I mean, I would send people to bigpicturemediaonline.com. That's a lot of our, you know, client stuff. It's contact information for me. Like my email's on there. the label, we don't really, I think there's like zodiacrecords.com. We don't really, we're not like looking to sign tons of people. We're kind of just do things on, you know, help out people that we kind of find along the way. And Volta is, I think it's volta.live. But our site's still under construction. So it's kind of like we'll have the players obviously work. So we'll just have people will be able to go to Instagram, grab the tickets, and then.
Yeah, I was going to say,
it'll just play. You'll get an email, click the link. You're there, you know, simple. We wanted to keep the customer journey as simple as possible.
Nice. Yeah, I was going to say, if the website's under construction, but obviously you guys have done some dry runs and, you know.
Oh, no, everything works. It's been working for 2 years. It's just the.
Nice.
I don't know what it's called, landing page or whatever.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to checking it out tomorrow. And, you know, highly recommend the
audience. I'll send it to you in a bit, yeah. We're shooting a show tonight, actually, in Boston.
Oh, nice. And then
I'm here to go do that now.
Okay. Well, yeah. And then, you know, I mean, like I said, I got a lot of friends and, you know, part of the hardcore scene. So hopefully they'll.
Yeah, let's get some tickets. Let's sell some tickets.
Get people out there, man.
Yeah, because we want to know what people think. Like, what's your favorite angle? What do you want to see for angles next time? Like, because we'll probably do it again in May again, probably. So we just, you know, we want to know what everyone thinks and like, how can we make it better? And just, you know.
And would the opportunity be there? Like, cause I mean, this was recorded in May and now you guys are releasing it tomorrow, but would you say if you work out the kinks that next year in May, you can actually watch it live if you can't make it there and kind of.
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure. We have tonight, we're doing a live stream tonight, like a live stream with this band Calexico in Boston. Oh, okay. Yeah, but next year could possibly be live.
Nice.
For sure. Yeah.
Hey, well, real quick, before I let you go, I want to ask you a couple of questions I normally ask people that I have on here. Who are your top three musical artists?
Ooh, I mean, top three? I think I love the Beatles, which is cliche, but I don't care because I grew up listening to them. Faith No More was always like a big influence on me. And I don't know. I mean, that's three. I mean, 300.
Yeah, it's hard to wind down that last one. You feel like you're leaving somebody out.
I don't know. I'll say old Metallica.
Nice.
You know?
And then.
Or I could say Sick of It All and Madball. And Hatebreed. I guess it's just different because my brain breaks up into, like, you know, I could be like Christopher Cross, Air Supply, and Mariah Carey too. Like, I have different sections of my brain. I like so much different music.
Yeah,
like I love yacht rock, but I also love the death, like Deicide, Napalm Death, and friggin' Morbid Angel. You know what I mean? So I have my tops of each genre, I guess.
Nice.
Yeah.
And then what, you know, we were talking earlier kind of about kids and stuff, but what class do you feel should be mandatory before graduating high school today?
How I don't know. First of all, mail, post office should be one, and how to do taxes should be one. Those are classes I think should be a thing, because sometimes you go to the post office, like, and especially at tax time. And they're like always like, that's not how you fill out that form. There's just certain things that you have to do in the real world that are just never taught. And I'm like, how is that not a thing?
Exactly.
You know, I guess accounting. accounting should be like 100% a thing that's taught all along. I know I took accounting, but I didn't retain it. It was only 1 year I took it.
Yeah, everybody says that all the time. The tax
keeping track of your money in your books, like it's so hard, but it's so important.
How money actually works, you know?
Yeah, how money works is like exactly that should be.
Like, there's not an unlimited supply on that magic card that you slide in all the time. I try and tell my kids that.
But like, we're always on a spending freeze. I'm like, all right, with the fucking spending, you know, like,
yeah,
nonstop. Yeah.
And then, who are three people who've inspired you or you can credit for making you the person you are today?
I don't know. Who inspired me? Stephen King, for sure, as a writer and just like a crazy person that writes awesome, crazy shit. My grandma, who passed away last year, Rosemary Gazzaro, because she like let me watch horror movies like when I was six. You know, like I only just started letting my daughter in. She's like about to be 10. She just started Stranger Things. To me, like horror movies made me want to love movies. Like I was like, oh shit, this is like, I just, when you feel is when shit's enjoyable. Same with comedy, like you laugh and it's fun. I love being scared and like just seeing shit, like, ugh, you know.
Yeah.
So that was her, I guess. And I don't know, man. Who else? I mean, made me who I am today? I don't know, man. My wife.
There you go.
Huh? 20 years.
Yeah. I was going to say, man, that couch would be uncomfortable tonight, man.
It's so true, though, because I am a maniac, and I am twitchy, and I'm like, I'm a mess. I'm a fucking disaster, and she's, like, so confident and, like, knows, like, instinctually how to run a business and just, like, how to be, like, in meetings, and I'm like, I'll be in fucking conference calls talking over people. She's like, you know you're talking over everyone? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, I don't know. I have to say what I have to say. You know, like she helps like round me out and like, you know, it's crazy.
Nice. Now, real quick, here's a controversial question for you because we were just talking about our love for horror.
Yeah.
Personally, you know, I grew up and out of the horror movies, you know, it was just like Michael Myers was my dude, you know, Halloween. Yeah. I had the pleasure of driving to Pittsburgh and meeting John Carpenter and getting my picture taken with him because, you know, like Halloween, The Thing, They Live, you know, all movies of his that I've absolutely loved.
Christine too, right?
Yeah. And then what, you know, were you a fan of the Halloween series?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I always remember my stepbrother was like, he was obsessed with Halloween. And I was like, And because I, for some reason, like I told you, my grandmother let me, my first horror movie was Friday the 13th, part two was the first horror movie I saw. Or maybe it was part one, actually, now that I think about it, because I remember the head getting cut off. So like that, I was like Jason was my guy, and he loved Michael Myers. But as I got older, I'm like, yeah, Halloween's awesome. And I still,
it's like lessons more too, you know, you didn't need to actually see everything that was happening. You know, you could feel there was a feeling behind him, which I loved. But here's the controversial question. Halloween Ends. Did you see that yet?
I didn't see it. I haven't even seen the second one yet because I didn't love the first remake one there. Like it was okay, but like, so I didn't see the second. I have all intentions of watching both of them because now I'm hearing everyone freaking out about Halloween Ends. I'm like, now I have to watch the second one and the third one.
Yeah.
I liked the first Rob Zombie one fine, but then the second Rob Zombie one I didn't like at all.
Oh, that was a freaking... Yeah, nobody liked that one.
But like, I love Halloween 3, even though it's like totally different. It's funny because I recently watched all the Halloweens, not obviously those brand new ones, but because I listened to a podcast called, it was called In Voorhees We Trust with Gourley and Rust. And then they did In Myers We Trust with Geyers and Rust, you know, Paul Rust and this guy, Matt Gourley. So, like, as they were going through every single one of those, I started watching every single one of them. And they did the Friday the 13th. They did Nightmare on Elm Street. They did Chucky, Stephen King. Like, it's a funny-ass show. Funny-ish. It's long and just kind of boring sometimes. But, you know, you love horror, you get what you can get.
Yeah. Well, as a fan of Halloween 3 Season of the Witch, myself, I was a fan of that as well, even though it was like off, you know, a different kind of storyline. Yeah. There are some Easter eggs in the Halloween Kills. So,
really?
Yeah.
For part 3?
Yeah. So you'll enjoy like a lot of the throwbacks.
Dude, I don't remember where we were, but we were at a horror convention for Old 37, my ambulance movie there. And I sat across from that guy, from the main dude from Halloween 3, the mustache guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Tom, was it Atkins or something like that? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, that's that guy. I was really stoked. I didn't talk to him, but he was by himself just eating at in the hotel, like restaurant, you know?
Yeah, yeah. You don't want to be one of those people when somebody's eating.
No,
you know?
Yeah, I never do. I get too embarrassed.
Yeah. But awesome. And then any causes or organizations that you support and encourage others to check out?
The MS Society, for sure, because I have MS and my mother has MS. And Two Right Love on Her Arms. We've been doing press for them for like 16 years.
Oh, yeah.
They're like a, you know, an organization for self-harm, you know. But they're good people, too. So,
yeah, that's right, because you guys are the ones that email me. They're
probably stuff. Constantly. Yeah.
I'm always but I'm a big supporter of them as well. I lost a nephew to suicide, you know, years ago, and you know, I mean, it. You know, the whole family still hasn't been the same.
It's rough.
And then me being a veteran, I got a lot of veteran friends that you know we lose. So it's a bit, I first was at a festival when I first kind of saw that organization and started talking to the guy at the tent and built a relationship. So anytime you guys send me that stuff, I always share it.
And, that's awesome. You know, thank
big,
you.
Big supporter of that.
Yeah. Man. They're good. So, they're good people for sure.
Yeah. And then, favorite toy as a child?
Transformers.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
And then, any message that you have for our military members currently serving overseas?
Well, thank you for your service. And, you know, we're all here for you and keep up the good work.
Nice. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, hey, man.
Yeah, I have my uncle is in the, I have some military family. So I'm there for you, man.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Well, hey, man. Yeah, I know, you know, we've gone a little bit over time. I appreciate you. You know, giving me the extra time so I could get through some of these questions. And it's been good getting to, you know you more now, you know, know more about the origin story of Big Picture and who these people are that send me these emails. And, and it's like, good. Now I got a real relationship.
You do 100%. Send me that info. Let's email me and we'll get your intro card all set. It'll look sick.
Nice, man. Yeah. I appreciate that. That'll be great, dude.
And I'll send you a link to the show, to the bowl, to both nights.
Awesome. And then, I appreciate that, man. Looking forward to it. And then real quick, before I let you go, you mind doing one last favor for me?
Yeah.
Just introduce yourself, cut a promo ID, introduce yourself, and you're listening to today's Boondoggle?
Yeah. Tell me when.
Yeah, whenever now? You're good.
Oh. Yeah. Hi, I'm Paul Travers, and you're watching today's Boondoggle.
Sweet.
Are you watching or are you listening?
Well, both, because there'll be an audio version.
Okay. Should I say listening?
Put out there later. Yeah, you can do a listening one if you want.
Okay. Hi, I'm Paul Travers, and you're listening to today's Boondoggle.
Awesome. Oh, thank you so much, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Good talk with you. And yeah, we'll be in touch. I got your email was in the group email. So
we'll be in touch. I'll remind you because I'm serious about the opening.
I appreciate that, man. That'd be a huge lifesaver, man. I need that.
Super fun too. I love working on stuff.
here's something you don't know. We were in I don't want to know. Fort Cliff. You can know now because we're all, we lived through it. We're alive. We're in Fort Clinton. The boats were docked on the river. So one night we go out and we're going to go all shit bagging.
So that's when we were in skinny dipping.
And we're coming back.
No, that's Lorraine.
Oh, Lorraine. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we get this bright idea because.
Is there a video?
We were trying to impress some of the
bunch of girls, and we're like, "Hey, these
the new girls in the here's our, was that one skinny boy?
Here's our yachts, you know." So we jump on there, fire them up. out into the lake we go. Drop the ramp.
Is it national?
Might have been skinny blonde, short hair.
Yeah, Kim.
Yeah, K.
All these people should not be on this boat.
Kim Nash.
You know what? And we're out there.
Surprise me.
Oh, my God.
What was
out there?
Who was in that doctor underwear and jumped in off the boat?
Perry?
Yeah.
We went on skinny dipping. We took an 8-boat out after the bars all closed. The guard's like, what are you guys doing on there? That's all right. It's ours.
We're good to go.
It's a good end.
We know what we're doing.
We're professionals. Okay. We're professionals. Don't try this at home.
Remember that one summer when we had all the steel beach parties?
Oh, my God.
Remember? Yeah.
And thank you for listening to another story time from the VFW Hall, brought to you by Today's Boondoggle. Thank you for listening once again to today's Boondoggle Radio Show. Please be sure to check out our website, domaincle.com or todaysboondoggle.com for more shows and check out our archives. Follow us on social media at Today's Boondoggle on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter for more information about this podcast. And please support us on www.anchor.fm/todaysboondoggle, as well as on our GoFundMe and Venmo. Be sure to subscribe, comment, download, and listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spreaker, and all the other podcast platforms out there. Please email us with any questions, suggestions, and comments via todaysboondoggle@gmail.com. Leave us some 5-star reviews and help spread the word. Thanks again for listening.
Thank you for tuning into this week's Today's Boondoggle. Domain Cleveland Entertainment is a veteran-owned and operated cornucopia of nonsensical shenanigans. You can find interesting interviews, music news and information, and just about everything else in between. Thank you again for supporting, sharing, and tuning into Today's Boondoggle.